We pray, dear Lord, in these last and dreadful days, pour out your Spirit on us, that as the darkness overcomes this world, your gospel light might be proclaimed louder and brighter than ever before. Bless us and strengthen us for the work you have, that your name may be honored and hallowed in time and for all eternity. Amen. This morning for our celebration of Pentecost, we turn to the historic account in Acts chapter 2. We might not realize it, but there are about 120 believers gathered in those 10 days between Christ's ascension and the historical Pentecost celebration. 120 believers gathered together. They were busy carrying out the work God had to elect Matthias to replace Judas and to prepare to get about the work God had prepared for them to do. And yet, while they knew the mission Christ had given them, they were also very much aware of how dark and evil those days were. They were to be God's eyewitnesses of Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension and how he has purchased salvation for all people. And yet, God's enemies killed the Lord of glory. Can you get much more wicked than that? Here, they were sent out on this mission to bring this glorious news that in Christ there is life everlasting for all people. And yet, God told them to wait. Wait in Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power from on high, until God would pour out his Holy Spirit on you to equip you with what you still lack for the mission that lies ahead of you. We live in dark and evil days. From churches to congresses to homes to back alleys, there's every form of sin in our world today in its fullest bloom, whether we're talking about greed or lust or hatred or lying or hard hearts and wicked tongues we find in every corner of this world. And yet it's to this very world that God sends us out to do the very same mission, to make disciples for our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be praying. Just as those 120 disciples gathered together for those 10 days to pray continually, so we need to pray. Pray for God to light that flame over our heads. Pray to feel the wind of the Holy Spirit dwelling among us, that we would pray in these last and final days, oh Lord, pour out your Spirit on us. Just as you poured it out at the festival of Pentecost, dear Lord, so also pour it out on us in this very day. Not so that we can speak in foreign languages we never learned or that we could do miracles, but no, pour out your Holy Spirit so that we are able to declare the wonders of God's love. Pour out your Spirit so that more and more may call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, because these are the last days. When Peter stood up on that Pentecost festival, and everyone was aghast and amazed at what was going on, he spoke. He spoke and he sounded more like Jesus than like Peter. It was amazing, his eloquence. 7 weeks earlier, he was timid, confused, fearful. On Pentecost, he spoke like someone who really understood God, who really loved God's word, and also love God's people. What a transformation the Holy Spirit gives him, huh? He had a mission from Jesus, and yet he wasn't ready to go out on that mission. No, he was waiting for that day when he would receive power and passion and understanding from the Holy Spirit. Now he was truly equipped for this ministry ahead of him, just like all the other apostles and the 112. The crowds were totally confused. What is this? What's happening here, and what does it mean? But Peter stood up and explained it all. It's interesting. A couple months earlier, Peter couldn't connect the dots between what the Old Testament had promised and what he was seeing unfold right before his very eyes. But now he calms the crowd by pulling back an Old Testament reference from the prophet Joel. And so these things aren't strange. These are the very words God put in the mouth of the prophet Joel, that these are signs of the end times, that these are signs that God is going to spread his word and his gospel message out into the whole entire world. And there Peter found strength and power and passion in the Word of God. More our question, though, is, do we find that power and passion in the Word of God? Are we able to connect those Old Testament prophecies and that New Testament realities to what's happening in our hearts and lives? Or do we stand more like Peter at Jesus' crucifixion, totally unable to put the pieces together and see how God is working in his life right before his very eyes? Are we able to draw that very same passion and power, or do we feel weak and broken in these end times and just barely hanging on by our fingernails? We pray, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need it in these end times. You send us out just as you sent out the apostles with the wonderful news of what God has done for us in our own native language. Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and now even Americans. What is that glorious news? Well, have we not just sung that wonders of our God, O Lord our God, how glorious is your name in all the earth? Almighty God, merciful Father, you crown our life with your love. You take away our sin. You comfort our spirit. You make us pure and holy in your sight. You did not spare your one and only Son, but gave him up for us all. O Lord, our Lord, how glorious is your name in all the earth. O Son of God, eternal Word of the Father, you come to live with us. You made your Father known. You wash us from our sins in your own blood. You are the King of glory. You are the Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how glorious is your name in all the earth. That was their song. And that is our song. That everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just as our opening song, starting out with a little flute, a faint little flicker of 120 people sent out to carry this word to the ends of the world. And it slowly grows and builds so that millions upon millions, and finally the whole chorus of believers join in that praise to God, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that we might join confidently and boldly in that angelic choir and sing your praises here on earth just as they do in heaven. That everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But why has he chosen us? Why here? Why now? Why should we be praying for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a Pentecostal fashion that it might grip us and possess us and move us and compel us? Why us? We're so busy. We have so many things to do with our lives. Really? Really? Is there something more important to do with our lives than what the Lord wants us to do with our lives? I think not. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's take a moment with that word saved. People don't talk about the need for being saved much these days. In most churches, they don't talk about being saved at all, being fulfilled, reaching your full potential. And if many churches do talk about being saved, it's more being saved from social injustice or ignorance or intolerance or saved from those people who take the Bible too seriously. But there is a wild animal that is stalking each and every one of us out there. We desperately need to be saved. And the bitter truth is we cannot save ourselves. Satan and hell is very real, even though most people have closed their eyes and ears to the thought. What good is if we gain the whole world and yet lose our soul for all eternity? That's the reality. The greatest gift one human can give another human is the good news about Jesus Christ, their one and only Savior. For that is a gift that lasts for all eternity. Delivers souls from the dungeons of hell to the mansions of heaven. There is nothing more precious than that glorious good news. But what mystifies us on Pentecost, just like in these end times, why would God entrust this important job to weak, sinful human beings? He has a whole army of holy angels that do everything perfectly. Why doesn't he call on them to blanket the world with his good news? That's a mystery. Simply because he loves us and he wants us to join with him in this holy and precious work. Our reassurance is that he is powerful enough to work through the likes of us and sometimes even work in spite of us and get his job done. The question for us is, do we want the Holy Spirit to work through us or in spite of us? Oh Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on us, that we might be tools in your hands. It's interesting how Paul picked up this very same song as he wrote to the Roman Christians. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then he goes on. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Makes sense, doesn't it? In order for people to call out in faith to the Lord, they have to have faith. In order for them to have faith, someone needs to preach to them. In order for someone to preach to them, someone needs to be sent out to preach to them. People don't come to faith just by osmosis, by the blowing of the wind, by thinking pious warm thoughts. No, it's only through that gospel proclaimed. And here on Pentecost, we see this remarkable movement that God is doing in his church. He's going to take these 120 disciples and use them to spread the word all throughout the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Wow, that's a big job description. And yet, his Holy Spirit would be with them and making it happen miraculously. His Holy Spirit would put some of the apostles right on the front line to go and preach and teach and start congregations. His Holy Spirit would call people to be in a supportive role, to be blessing those congregations as they get established and to keep them running. He would bless certain people to be able to sell their land, to support financially the work of the church. He would bless all his people that they could share with their friends and family the good news of who Jesus is. And in so doing, do friendship evangelism and bring them in from the highways and byways. Is it not the same today? Isn't the Holy Spirit working in His church the exact same way? There are some who are on the front lines, called workers in the public ministry, the public face of the Christian church in a very unchristian world. Oh, but God calls through His Holy Spirit legions of people to support in various ways that the church may be blessed and grow and be vibrant. And has not the Holy Spirit equipped all of us to share that good news with our friends and family? Put His word on our tongue that we might explain the curse of sin and the salvation of our Lord? Of course He has. And yes, even that we should every week set aside a sum of money in keeping with our income that we may have something to worship our Lord with as we come into His house and something to support His ministry. And is that not the reason why we come to the day of compelled by the love of Christ and our special offering? Why? Because there is a need in God's church. And again, that's nothing strange that happens. No. Our new person of faith loves to hear how it can be used in God's gospel ministry. Our new person of faith instinctively says, "Here am I, send me, use me, put your word in my heart and mouth that I may be that light in this dark world." Sometimes our sinful nature gets in the way and causes all kinds of excuses and obstacles. But in our heart of hearts, we come back to Joel's cry from the Old Testament. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And there's the bottom line. There's our reason for living, so that more may call on the Lord's name and be saved. Saved. But what really sobers me in this text, as I play out this Pentecost event in my mind, is how Peter grabs a hold of Joel's words, "In these last days, I will pour out my spirit." Wow. If Peter was standing up amongst the crowd and saying, "Today these words are fulfilled in your hearing, these days are the last days," wow, we're 2,000 years later. What does that make our day? If he was already in the last days, very much the final days. And one of the signs that we're right at the end of time is that so many people won't know it. It'll come so unexpectedly. Luke writes, "You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Jesus' words. You must be ready. People are not going to expect him. And even amongst us Christians, how easy is it to get so wrapped up in our day-to-day world, so busy with our things to do, God becomes less and less of a thought, more of an afterthought, a pausing memory, because we are just going 100 miles an hour into tomorrow. And tomorrow may never come. We major in all the minors, and what's truly major in our life, we treat as trivial. And if that happens amongst Christians, what is happening in the unbelieving world? And when people least expect it, that's exactly the time when he will come. Does that not bring us an urgency to get busy? Pour out your Holy Spirit. There isn't much time left. As the darkness of unbelief and the wickedness of Satan descends upon this world, oh, that there might be an enduring light, an enduring voice that keeps on crying out into the wilderness. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And in a very real way, this is a golden opportunity to share the word of the Lord. Think of it a second. All the artificial props and false gods and rationalizations that this world has for sinning and being wicked and evil, all of those are crumbling underneath them. Their false gods are crushing down upon their heads and they're realizing that this just isn't working. Things are supposed to be going better and better and they just get worse and worse. What a marvelous time to step in with news of the one and only Savior, the God who truly can forgive sins and save souls and put broken, shattered lives back together. And in Him there is forgiveness and love and peace. There is only one Savior, but oh, does that Savior save and do mighty and powerful things. And when our world is reeling in pain and darkness, oh, that we would bring that glorious good news to Him and not just sit in our own little enclave, fearful of this world out there. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit. There is so much work to do in these last few moments of the world's history. We are in those final days, and help us, Lord, not to love the things of this world, for they are dust in our fingers and will soon be blown away. Use us, Lord, this moment and every moment, that the world might know how good and gracious our God is, and take us, a small group, just as you did with the apostles, and spread your glorious word throughout the world. Amen.